What's good, fam? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. This is episode el numero dos tres, 23. I'm Wes Ayers. I'm here with the delightful Jess Estep. Jess, it's so good to see you. What's been going on, my friend?
Hey, bro. It's good to see you. I hope I'm delightful. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not so delightful, but man, it's a good day to be in the zoo as always. It's a good day to see you. If you don't know, if you're not on Facebook Live right now, Wes is looking spectacular with his pink button-up shirt and his oversized watch that I'm digging. I just love it.
Fossil.
But it's a good day to be Christmas. In the zoo. I tell you what I am excited about.
What's that?
I don't know if you've been noticing. I don't know if you people out there that are listening have been noticing. The temperatures are starting to come down. Now, slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah, I think it was 91 yesterday. Yeah.
Was it really 91?
Yeah, it was 91.
Okay, I looked, it was like 88. Well, anyway, 91 is an improvement over 95.
For sure.
It has felt better outside.
Yes.
Because I've actually had the desire to take my son and go ride our bikes together.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when it's 95 to 100 degrees outside, it's like, nope, no, if we can't ride that bike inside, we're not going. Yeah. But it's starting to feel good outside. It's starting to actually seem like there's fall weather ahead. And I always welcome that time of year because it feels good outside. And I tell you, I'm just not much for going outside, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning and it's 88 degrees.
For sure.
And then, you know, it's going to get hotter.
Right.
So when you go outside, like I'll take him outside to get ready for the bus and it's 65 degrees and he's like rubbing his arms because he's chilly. And I'm just like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I like it.
That was beautiful. We're going to
it was supposed to sound like angels.
Was Did close.
It? Yeah. Was it close?
It was good.
Okay. I didn't clear my throat first.
But it is. It's starting to feel good. I thought you were going to reference your Red Hot Braves.
Well, you know, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah. 61 wins, baby.
You know, it's like 10 games till the end of the season, though. It's like, okay, let's wait all year and let's not bring up Dansby Swanson. And let's bring him in when there's 20 games left. Yeah, you know.
You know what? It's okay.
But
Chris
you
Bryant,
know,
they did the same thing with Chris Bryant.
They weren't planning on this being, you know, a good year anyway.
Yeah.
So
it was for sure a fire sale.
It definitely. And so I think they felt like developing him most of the year was more beneficial. And I guess they got so desperate, it's like, well, we can't tank any worse. So let's bring him up and then like, you know, he'll probably end with like a better batting average than everybody on the team.
Yeah.
Maybe not Freddie Freeman.
Looks good.
Freddie Freeman's hot. Yeah. But, you know, my rub with him is it takes him till August to really catch fire. Yeah. Like, what are you doing in, you know, May and June and July? But anyway, I like Freddie. I hope they keep him. You know, I don't know, with some of the deals they made, Andrew's his distinguished first name, Andrew.
You can call him that because you're on a personal
one. We're on a personal one-on-one basis. It's not anymore, but we were. So anyway, what's been going on with you lately?
Friday night we took the fan van over to Central. The Pirates are looking good. They are now the number 5 team in the state.
Nice.
So in 4A, which is really cool.
They're good. Undefeated?
They are undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're actually going into the game with Lexington Friday night. Both teams are undefeated. Pretty good rivalry. I remember when I was in high school, we wanted to beat Lexington regardless if it was football, basketball, dominoes, playing cards. It didn't matter. You wanted to beat them.
You definitely want to beat the teams that are close by you.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, I mean, there's 15 miles that separate Lexington and Rogers.
And so, you know, both teams are rolling really good. But Friday night we went over to Central and watched them play. And they had their second shutout of the year. They won, I think it was 34-0, 36-0.
That's the thing. Like they're decimating teams.
Yeah. Yeah. The defense
they're
is
not,
looking really
They're not
stout.
Just beating them.
Yeah. They're, but you know, the cool thing about it is you talk to them after the game and they will tell you the things that they need to work on and the things that they need to get better at. So, you know, Coach Martin's done a really good job with them and those players are just phenomenal young men and very, very proud of them. Sunday night we had, our visitation teams, we did a reorganization meeting, which was really neat. And we have a new guy who's overseeing that. Anthony Persher is overseeing that for our congregation now. And he's made a few changes, which are really, really good changes. I think they're going to work out better and help our organization team be more organized, which is part of the process. Sure. So very, very excited about what Anthony's got going on and moving forward with that. So, you know, it's been busy. We're about to get geared up for some really, really cool stuff, which I can't mention here because if any of my teenagers are listening, I don't want to I don't want to let that out of the bag just yet, but
yeah, they're probably
some,
not
some things that I'm excited about. Yeah, I hope they're in school right now.
Yeah,
some things that we're really excited about and moving forward. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But today,
are y'all buying a plane for the youth group?
Is that what it is? Yes, for those private jet those trips over to like Cox Boulevard.
Yeah,
you know they're just too long.
I mean, you could definitely get over there very quickly
for sure. Yeah,
yeah,
up and down.
I've been talking to my elders about getting one.
Well,
if y'all get one, that means we'll probably get one.
Y'all probably get like three.
Nah, we don't need three.
Because you need one for your youth ministry, college ministry.
The KYM kids. I didn't think about it. We probably do need three then.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just my observation.
cool.
But, okay, so today we're going to talk about something that is unique to youth ministers, youth ministry across the board. We're going to talk about things that you expect and the things that you don't. So it's unique to us and unique to Jess and myself as we, you know, we work with these young people week in, week out, day in, day out. And so you can remember the times that as you were getting ready for youth ministry, you can remember some of the things that you were expecting to happen, some of the things that you just knew in your heart were going to happen. And then we'll finish up with some of the things that you just knew in your heart were not going to happen.
Little youth ministry 101 here.
Yeah. So youth ministry 101. That's good. I like it. So I'm going to start. I'm going to get us kicked off. You know, we certainly want to thank you for being here today and listening to our show and making our show so much fun. Your feedback and everything you do to help us and encourage us is really, really neat. So Jess, let's kick off with this thing.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about expectations first.
Yeah.
Right? There's some things that you get into youth ministry and you think, this is going to go this way.
This is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. I can remember prior to my first youth work, I remember thinking as I was gearing up and moving stuff into my office and getting ready for that. I mean, I was 22 when I first started working with youth ministry. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? These kids are going to listen and they're going to respond to everything that I say. They're just going to take what I say and think of it as golden. And there have been a lot of times where I have been teaching and up there in class and it's just crickets. You know, I mean, it's just it's just like, what? I mean, I don't know if they don't understand what I'm talking about. They don't care what I'm talking about, whatever the case might be. But I can remember expecting, man, these kids are going to listen to everything I say. It's going to be a huge response. It's just going, I'm going to knock it out of the park every time.
Yeah.
And I really set that expectation up super high for myself, and it was a huge disappointment for me the first time it happened. And I looked out across that room, and I was like, wow, I am not connecting on any level right now.
Lost them now.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could put on a hula skirt and do the hula. And
they would never know.
They would know. Yeah.
So that was one of
my— It might be a good idea. That might be something to try.
Well— for the greater good of everybody, I won't try that. I might try something. I might wear a wig one day.
There you go. Just have one in the podium. One up there just in case.
Fairly confident in my 8 years with youth ministry, I've been bald 7.5 of them.
Yeah, so, okay. I don't remember the half a year, but
I do. But anyway, wearing a wig, that might spike it up. So what about it? Have you ever thought to yourself, they're just not listening?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. There are times, and I'm going to be honest with you, and this may be a telltale thing. There are some times when I'm listening to myself and I'm thinking, I understand why they're not in tune. But yeah, I mean, you get into youth ministry and you're excited and you have these expectations that, like you said, that you're just going to teach these flawless lessons and your words are going to just roll off your tongue like butter and they're just going to, you know, they're going to soak it up, and they're going to just really be in tune with you, and yeah. they're going to have their Bibles out, and they're going to be focused on the message, and they're going to raise their hand, and they're going to volunteer to read this and
yeah.
volunteer to pray for this, and it's just
not there sometimes.
That's not reality all the yeah. time. You know, there are times when that is achieved, and you go through, you know, and you're encouraged by that, but there's an awful lot more times probably when the reality hits and yeah. they may be listening. And so we'll give them a little bit of credit. They may be listening more than we think they are.
Right.
But the appearance is I'm thinking about, you know, my schoolwork, or I'm thinking about my girlfriend or boyfriend, or,
sure.
you know, I'm on my phone playing jump dive or whatever that is, flip
yeah.
dive.
Yeah.
You know, But we definitely get into that expectation, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, one of the things that I think that I set myself up for the most was just buying into the fact that I was just going to set the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just and I think one of the things that I fell into as well was I didn't give enough concentration to what I was trying to say. I don't guess I studied enough. I guess mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, if I can take a small little snippet of what I'm going to try to talk about and just use that, I can make the rest happen, you know.
Gotcha.
So I set myself up to really not be successful right at the beginning. I didn't pray enough. I didn't study enough, but I thought they would listen and respond to what I had to say. So definitely was kind of focused on some of the wrong priorities, and, mm-hmm. and I think that really set that up to be almost a disaster at times, you know,
right.
Based on what we were talking about. If I didn't do enough study, well, you know how that is. If you don't do enough study on certain topics, kids know.
They can tell. They can tell when you come in unprepared or not prepared enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the number one thing that turns them off to what you're doing. I mean, yep. and you can over-prepare too, but if you've prepared, then at least you can capture them with enough information. But if you're up there stuttering around and, you know, you haven't got anything to say and you're trying to think of things on the fly,
yeah,
you can get by with that a little bit, you know. And depending on the age range, you can get by with that a little bit. If you're teaching younger kids, then, you know, I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying, you know, it can fly a little bit, but
sure.
I'm telling you, when you're teaching 9th through 12th graders and you're trying to tackle, you know, some meat of the word stuff,
yeah,
and you hadn't prepared, they can tell.
See, I think sometimes when I didn't put enough into it, I mean, I'm not Steve Shelton. And you and I both have a love and respect mm-hmm. for Steve. Steve blows my mind. He can go up there with a little 3x5 note card with just the barest of bones things and mm-hmm. can make it just something amazing. And right. I'm not like that. I mean, yeah. I've got to dive in. I've got to study. And if I don't do that, they know it. I mean, mm-hmm. they know exactly what I've done, and that's not, you know. So over the last few years, that's what I've really tried to do is just study more, be prepared more, and they can tell. I mean, even if you're sure. struggling through it, they'll pay attention to you because right. they can tell that, you know, you've really put your time and effort mm-hmm. into it. So it makes a big difference how you are interacting with the kids if you're trying. So,
yeah, I agree.
What about you? What's something that you expected?
Well,
that...
So I'm going to handle this real delicately because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm talking about here. When I began in youth ministry, my first two works were with very small congregations. Neither one of those had elders at the time. So we had a lot, you know, we had either men's meetings or we had... I don't guess it was ever where the preacher just made the decision. It was mostly done. Everything was done through men's meetings. And there was low expectation as far as I was concerned because I was pretty new to it. And the two places where I was, there weren't many teenagers. There weren't many kids at all. And my first work, I'll tell you, was out in Phil Campbell. And I basically... we had made a deal where they would pay for my education while I was at Heritage Christian, while I in turn taught Bible classes for them and planned some devos every now and then. There was not a whole lot of expectation because of my time restraints and driving back and forth. And so you know, I didn't really have that there, but I didn't have elder support. I didn't have, you know, the monetary support. Now, there would be people who give me money, you know, hey, you know, take them out to McDonald's, take them here and there. And so I had a little support, but not like an eldership that could put some money and some funds.
Right.
Same thing at Annapolis Avenue. We had men's meetings. You know, not going to lie, sometimes it was frustrating to get anything going because of that. And there were low, you know, the funds were lower and whatnot. And I was at that time, I was back in the Shoals area and was seeing other youth ministries and what was going on and what was needed to kind of mimic or mirror that. And so, and we didn't have it. And so, you know, that was a little frustrating. And so when I got into, in 2004, when I began, you know, at Atlas, the first full-time work, I had these expectations that anything that I came up with in my head, anything I needed money for, anything, any program that we wanted to start, that the elders would automatically just be for.
Right.
That they would support monetarily, that they would support, you know, just regular, you know, support and be behind it and encourage that. And it wasn't like that. And that's not to speak ill of them or to speak ill of the elders at Killen. You know, I respect both sets of elders and they make really great decisions. It's just, you know, they had to say no to some things.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I look back and I say, well, yeah, we probably didn't have the funds to just run out and buy a $55,000 bus, right, you know, at the time. And, you know, so there were things, you know, in my mind that I was thinking, boy, we got to do this and we got to do this. And to be fair, there were a lot of things that did fly, that did go.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, sometimes either we've been working with, you know, part-time with a smaller congregation and we go to a larger congregation full-time, we're all in, we've got this eldership, we've got a big budget. And so I think there's an expectation that everything's going to fly, everything's going, you know, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it can certainly catch you off guard, you know. And I think about, you know, some of the things that I've asked to be able to do and been told no. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing to remember is that for me personally, and the relationship that I have with my elders is I get told yes a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those, you know, we focus on the negative or the things that don't necessarily go our way. And so we remember those things and we get frustrated with those things. But I can remember being in that position where thinking, absolutely, if I ask for it, it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just not the case because at the end of the day, the youth ministry is not the only thing that they're trying to budget for, you know,
right,
they're
right.
budgeting for ministries and,
mm-hmm.
Missionaries, things like that, different right. things that are happening, and they're trying to help different people. You know, I know when I was going to school, different congregations helped me. They sent me money to go to school. In fact, Killen was one of those congregations when I was coming through Heritage. They mm-hmm. they helped me financially. So, you know, they're trying to remember those types of things and keep those things in the back of their mind that, you know, somebody's going to need something. Somebody's going to need help financially or whatever the case might be. So the elders are what they're doing is they're being good stewards of the money.
Exactly.
They're just making sure that everything's lined up where they need to be. And sometimes we lose track of the fact that, you know, the youth budget's not the only budget on the budget sheet. So
you're absolutely right there. Yeah. I mean,
you know, so I'm with you. I mean, I feel it, but yeah, I think that was neat that you pointed out that absolutely they will tell you yes a whole lot more than they tell you no.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's the nature of the things that you're asking for too. You know,
sure.
there's a lot of things you got to be reasonable and say,
yeah.
do yeah. I really think, you know, do I really think they're realistically, they're going to say yes. I mean, take this room we're in, you know, we've been in here a few years now as our teen room.
Right.
And we're just now, it's just now starting to develop into what the master plan that I had for it. And, you know, there's still probably, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 worth of stuff in my mind I would do, you know, and go in and say, let's do this right now.
Sure.
And, you know, the elders have pretty much said, you know, we're okay with this, but let's portion it out.
Right.
Let's not do it all at once.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you're saying. You know, they're looking at the money, they're looking at the numbers, and they're saying, you know, I support it, but you know, let's wait. Let's do this a little bit of, at a time. And that's the wise thing to do.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot more yeses than nos. Yeah. And elders are, you know, generally very supportive. But we also, you know, we have this expectation. We need to be careful about having this, because what it'll do is set you up for failure, because sure. then you think everything that I'm going to come up with, every plan is going to go. And when they say no, or let's not do it right now, or let's think about it a little longer, can really be dejecting, and it can really get you down. Yeah. So,
yeah, my wife, one of the things that she will tell you about me is that I am an impulse buyer. So if I want it, I have the tendency to just be like, yeah, I can swing that.
Right.
So I think that's one of those things that comes with wisdom and experience. And I think that's why elders are so instrumental to the church, you know, for so many reasons, but because they are able to sit back and think, you know, let's look at this. Let's make mm-hmm. sure that, you know, yeah, we could probably do it all right now, but let's space it out a little bit.
Exactly.
Let's make things happen where it makes the most sense. One of the expectations I had for youth ministry was that I would have 100% participation 100% of the time.
yeah. Well, your expectations weren't high at all.
No, I just felt like every kid, every teenager, every, college person that we were involved with on some sort of level would be involved in everything that we scheduled to do. And I remember thinking the first Devo that we had, I can remember thinking, well, so-and-so's not here,
mm-hmm.
and they should be here. And it turns out they had the flu.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where you're expecting things to happen. You're expecting people to be there every time, and that's just not going to happen, because the older I get and the more I see, then I got married, then I started having children, and then, you know, things happen,
mm-hmm.
and life happens. So, if you set somebody up for the expectation of perfect attendance every time, you're going to set them up for failure in your book. So, and you're yeah. also going to set yourself up for some serious disappointment.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, we talk in our youth class a lot. We say, perfection is not expected, but your best is expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that our young people at Shiloh give their best to be at everything that they're involved in, everything that we have going on. But there are just some cases where they just simply cannot do it. And I think that comes with maturity. I think that has come with me realizing that life happens, and mm-hmm. it's not, you know, they want to be there. It's not because they don't want to be there, but they just can't be there.
They just can't. Yeah, they can't make it. And you know, it's disappointing, you know, when you look at your role or your roster, whatever you call it, and, you know, you've got a certain amount there, and then, you know, half or less, you know, we're coming to a lot of stuff. I think that's pretty typical.
Yeah.
You know, I would guess, you know, there may be some groups that are more successful than others at getting people there for whatever reason. But again, we've got that. You go into it with the expectation, you know, and if you're the new guy, a lot of times at first you might have pretty close to 100%. They want to know who you are. They want to know what you're about. There's some energy, you know, some excited energy around having somebody new. And so you may get into a new work and you're excited because you're saying, well, these kids are just always going to show up
they'll be here every time.
Yeah. And then, you know, they figure out, you know, what you're all about. It's not always that they don't like what you're all about, but they figured you out, and, you know, then the newness wears off and, it gets, you know, back into reality, but, you know, don't let that get you down. But at the same time, we've got to have some realistic expectations. But I think that's one of the big ones, is that, you know, we get into it expecting, you know, we expect everybody to be there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and then we'll move on to the next one, and you've got the next one. A few years ago, we were at the M2Y conference in, where was it the first
year? Orlando.
Orlando, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Orlando. And when I heard Jerry Elder say this, he said something that was very wise, and we both love and appreciate him. He said, you know, putting the expectations on your kids to be there every time will put you in a burnout. Will put them in a burnout phase, and they're not going to want. They're not going to make an effort to be there when they can be there.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we take what we do to them? And that's what kind of got the fan van idea mm-hmm. rolling for me, is why don't we take kids and put them where their peers are, so that they can see them and encourage them.
Yep.
And, you know, somehow we'll turn it into, you know, God opens all kinds of doors for us. So if, you know, somehow we'll be able to turn that into some sort of encouragement, some sort of Christian-based form. You know, we've got these kids traveling together to go see other people. So Jerry was very huge, and that still sits on my heart a lot. You know, mm-hmm. it's if you set them up to be there every time, and then you guilt them into being there.
Yeah,
you know, that's the other thing is if they're not showing up, and then we try to guilt them into being there, they're not going to show up.
No,
and so I remember him saying that very, very plainly in my mind. I remember hearing him say that, and I just thought, you know, there's got to be a way that we can incorporate that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the fan van got rolling at Shiloh was because Jerry Elder spoke his words of wisdom and said, you know, don't guilt your kids because they can't come, mm-hmm. but go to them when they can't be there. So just very, very unique. Don't set yourself up for that disappointment and your kids for that kind of outrageous expectation mm-hmm. to be there every time.
Yeah, and if you're guilting them into coming, they may show up, but they're not there for the right reason.
They're there, but they're not there.
Yeah, they're there because you've made them feel bad about themselves if they're not there.
Yeah.
And probably made them feel like the other kids in the youth group are going to
say
something to them or, you know, make you feel guilty too. So, yeah you can't force, you know, I wish you could. Wish you could force them to be there and that they'd come with a good attitude and be happy. But, you know, just realize that it's not always going to be 100%.
Sure.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
You know, ministry is one of those interesting things that I feel like it's a different position, a different career choice, if you want to call it that, than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get into ministry a lot of times thinking everybody's going to love me.
Yeah.
Not because you're full of yourself, but because, you know, we're going to plan these cool things. I'm going to get along with all the parents. I'm going to get along with my elders. I'm going to get along with the kids. I'm going to get along with the teens. I'm going to get along with the elderly. And we have this expectation that because of the things that you're going to do and because of who you are and because of your personality and because you desire to serve, that everybody's going to love you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just doesn't always happen that
way. That's right. Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we've got to be realistic about it. Everybody's personalities do not match up with everybody's.
Yeah.
And your style of doing things may be completely different than how somebody else feels like it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those personalities clash and you don't get along and, you know, there's some friction and before you know it, you're kind of out of sorts with people.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place to be in ministry. It's not a fun place to be when you've expected from the start, you thought, well, I'll be here and, you know, everybody's going to like me. Yeah. You know, I'm a nice person. I don't cause division. I don't do this and that. I don't know. I imagine if we had a show of hands and if we could see every youth minister's hands, they would probably all go up and say, yeah, I've got, you know, that one or two people or whatever that seem like they're, you know, that we just don't get along that well. And I don't know if we need to lower that expectation or, you know, we definitely need to work super hard to make sure that doesn't happen.
For sure, yeah.
But I don't know. I know talking to you, you know, you've struggled with that some.
And absolutely.
Everybody does.
Yeah. I think one thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, I think about right now, I can think about some very, very good friends that I have at Shiloh who are very mm-hmm. close that I can pick up the phone. I can call them. I can text them, whatever, you know, because our personalities are a lot of the same. We have the same work ethic. We have a lot of the same ideas. But don't get your personality differences confused with they don't want to help you or they're not trying to support you or that they don't like you. People will still want to help. They may just not think the same way that you think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, all kinds of people have all different kinds of ideas, but when people, you can just tell when they just don't like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's tough, it's hard. And it can be very, very discouraging, but you know, one of the great things about the opportunities that we have is that there are so many people who do love us and who do support us and love our families and support our families. And that's huge. I mean, you know, you got to keep working. You got to make sure that you are in line in your relationship with God, and that you keep working, you keep pushing forward, and just know that, you know, there's just going to be somebody who just doesn't have much use for you.
And you just got to press on, you know, and, you know, kill them with kindness, you know, be gentle, and, you know, don't do anything to harm that relationship any further. Try to mend it if you can. And
understand that if one or two people are discouraging you in your congregation, and you think, okay, you sit down with your wife, and you say, is it time to move on somewhere else? And you decide that it is. Understand that when you go to that new work, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like you.
There is.
You know, it's just one of those struggles. You're just going to, you know, don't neglect a work because you have a disagreement with somebody.
Yeah.
It's just not the thing.
Absolutely. Try to fix it first. But keep it in perspective, too, because usually that group is pretty small.
Yeah.
It feels like it's bigger than it is.
Yeah.
But so, you know, say you've got, I think I figured we had 40 families represented within, you know, our 7th through 12th grade group. There's 40 sets of parents, okay? If there's one or two, then that's 38 that are for you and backing you and supporting you and that like you. So, you know, don't cast out those that are opposed to you. Try to mend those relationships and fix what you can.
Yeah.
But at the same time, keep it in perspective. But like we're talking about, when you get into it, don't be disappointed when that happens.
Yeah.
Be realistic. Now, I'm not, you know, Wes and I are not saying get into ministry with these harsh realities that everything's going to be doom and gloom. No, it's not that. But, you know, if I'm giving some words of wisdom to young ministers, young youth ministers coming up, you know, and they come to me and say, you know, all right, tell me what you think about ministry. Should I get into ministry? These are the types of things I'm going to tell them. Look, it's easy. Sure. It's going to be easy for you to go in and expect everything to be rosy and perfect and that everything's going to fly. And you just need to know to be patient sometimes and to know that the reality is that that's maybe not the way it's going to be. There's tons of blessings. They far outweigh the negative things.
Absolutely.
But you got one more expectation that we need to move on quickly to what you don't ever expect.
This one I learned in the middle of the fire. Your plans will not always go according to the plan.
You're kidding me.
No, you just got to be flexible.
Yeah.
I've shared the story about the first Atlanta trip that we had taken as a youth group and the fiasco that ran alongside of that. None of that was in the plan. You know, the hotel room, not having our rooms and having four king rooms reserved for us, you know, that was not in the plan. Mm-hmm. And then driving all the way across Atlanta and having six of the 12 rooms with no air conditioner, that was not in the plan. Having the air conditioner go out in the bus in Athens was not part of the plan, you know. So you just got to learn to be able to roll with those things and go with those things and know that when you're gearing up for a trip like that and you put 30 to 40, 45 people on the road, something's going to change. Something that you did not put in the plan is not going to happen. And, you know, when we went on our mission trip this past summer, things happened that you did not expect to happen, you know, and things didn't happen that you did expect to happen. So, you know, you just got to be able to roll with those things, make the best out of those situations, and just understand that God is in control and there's nothing that we can't handle. He's not going to push us past a point that we can't handle, and he's going to surround us with people that are going to help us and guide us. So just because you've got every plan laid out to the T doesn't mean that it's going to go that way. So it's unique to watch those unfold.
Well, knock on wood, but, you know, so far I've never had anything like, you know, the air going out or, you know, a bus breakdown. On a youth trip. Now, we did have at Titus Camp a few years ago, we went out to a pretty popular hiking spot, Cane Creek, over in Tuscumbia, and we drove one of Killen's church buses, and we were leaving. And as we're leaving the belt, it runs on one belt, and it's a very expensive belt, very difficult to replace, and it went out. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, you know, boy, this bus is running really hot, and it's running really weird, and I've lost all my, you know, my power steering and whatnot. And there we were. You know, I had 26 kids on the bus and me. And I'm like, okay, well, luckily, you know, I knew who to call.
Right.
So I get on the phone with Mark Simpson. And Mark. Of course, if you don't know, he owns a wrecker service. And not just that, but they do the whole from the wrecker to, you know, if you... You know, they fix it and everything, you know, whatever you need to be to happen.
Yeah. He's a deacon.
Collision
here,
repair.
Right?
Yeah, he is.
He's a phenomenal
and
dude.
So I call him and, you know, I don't know how, but it ended up where some of the other buses had empty seats. Ours was the only one that didn't, I guess. So we were able to load all of our kids from mine onto theirs. But they took off and there I was at Cane Creek at the main road. Made it to the main road.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're talking probably half an hour, 35 minutes outside of town, maybe further from the school anyway. And so I'm sitting there for hours waiting on a wrecker to come.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where, you know, luckily we weren't going to an Atlanta. You know, we weren't in Birmingham or we weren't, you know, in Douglasville and the bus goes out. But that happens. Those things happen and you just... You do have to adjust, and you know, and luckily we had room for the kids to get on. But your plans aren't always going to go accordingly. There's going to be things that mess up. You're going to go on a retreat sometime. Look, we went on a retreat to Birmingham when I think it was in Birmingham. I won't name the place, but we had rented this little retreat house, and we had bought all this food, and you know, we thought we had everything planned out. And we get there, and the oven doesn't work. Mm. The stove and oven doesn't work.
Yeah.
We got all this stuff we got to cook. And it had one refrigerator, but it was pretty small. And we were under the assumption that it had a couple, right? So we had to figure out something to do with the cold food.
Yeah.
And so we just did. We got coolers, and we kept them on ice the whole weekend. It was cold that year. And so we set some of the stuff outside, and that helped. And it was cold enough to keep it real cold. And then we bought like two griddles, and we cooked everything on griddles. So anyway, that's just to say, you know, you adjust you. But it's so dangerous to get in thinking everything's gonna go right all the time.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you think about. Exactly what you've planned out and the time that you've put into it, and then all of a sudden it's not working.
Yeah,
it's just tough.
Yeah,
but we can't let that discourage it because there are people depending on you to make it happen.
Yeah,
so don't let those plans going south discourage you the mm-hmm. rest of the time. It's just not.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it.
I remember, and then we'll move on. But I remember, I think it was last year's retreat, maybe or the year before. I had all this stuff planned to do with a whiteboard. And I had the whiteboard. Well, I forgot my markers.
Yeah.
Could not find any dry erase markers anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was like everything I had, all my activities were based around, we're going to keep all this stuff up on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that didn't work out.
You just roll with it.
Just roll with it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about some things that you don't expect. When you get into youth ministry, what you don't expect.
Yeah.
One of those things, and it's been one of those things... Like you said about learning in the fire, because immediately, almost no matter what time of year you you take on, you know, a youth ministry position, there's going to be an event that's going to come up that you're going to either need to go to or that you're going to need to plan. I did not expect the level of event planning that had come my way, and you know, it kind of rocks you a little bit because. If you're not used to talking with hotel people and doing registration stuff, which, you know, a lot of that has gotten a lot easier with online, I hate to say, but, you know, when I got into this, there was not a whole lot of online registering for things. It was a lot of, if you got the flyer and you lost the flyer, you probably weren't going to know, you know, when something was going on. Yeah. And so you had to hold on to those flyers because it had a form on it. To fill in and send back with a payment.
Right.
And, you know, and then lining up the bus and the price of fuel. And, you know, there's all these things that go into event planning. And if you're you know, when you get brave enough and you want to plan your own event, then you got to think, well, you know, where's the money going to come from? Do I have the money to do this? Who's going to support it? Who's going to be there? Who's going to help? Are we going to eat? Are we not going to eat? And are we going to pay our speakers? And who are we going to get? And how much are we going to pay them? Are we going to do activities? Is it going to be 2 days, 1 day, 3 day, a whole week? You know, there's a lot of things that go into that. And I do not remember going to that class in college that was how to plan events. Yeah. Now, maybe they've added that course or that class. But that's one of those things that you just have to, you almost have to learn on the fly.
Yeah,
if you don't, because you're not expecting that.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about online setups and signups, things like that. You know, youth ministry's changed since 71 when you started. So it's just
1971 when I was negative 10 years old.
So, you know, things are different and things have certainly changed. And, you know, sometimes it requires, we talk a lot to our kids about getting outside of their comfort zones to be able to accomplish certain things. We can't be afraid to do that either, to make sure an event is planned accordingly, make sure that we've got everything lined up, because, you know, the first thing is we want God to be the center of those things. So we got to plan that. We got to make sure that that's happening.
Right.
We got to make sure that our kids are having a good time and are safe. And so, you know, that takes a lot of planning. That takes a lot of time. And if you don't do that effectively, it could cause a big problem for the entire trip. One thing that I did not expect, I really didn't expect to be a gas attendant. Man, I mean, it seems like every time I turn around, I'm filling the bus up with gas.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just constant, you know, we're constantly on the move. And yeah. When you go to the Q Gas and the people know you by name, and it's just like, yeah, you know, it's like you walk in, everybody's like, hey,
yeah,
you know, it's just like
they know what kind of snack you grab on the way out.
Yeah, it's Doritos and a Diet Mountain Dew. I mean, they know what's happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where every time you turn around, you feel like you're just kind of filling the bus up, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not discouraged by that. I just didn't expect that. You know, how much I would be at a fuel station, and especially on trips, and you're out of town, and you don't know, you know, is this a good part of town to pull over and stop a bus full of 25 kids? And, you know, is this smart for us? And, you know, so you're constantly battling with, do we have enough gas? Or if somebody's taking another trip, one of the other ministries are taking a trip, and, you know, you start wondering, okay, did I fill the bus up with gas before they took off? Or did I fill the van up before they took off? And, you know, I just never really expected how much time I would spend at a gas station.
Yeah. Well, and there are some congregations, and I've heard from some guys that actually assign that to the youth minister. So no matter who drives it, it's his responsibility to fill it up. And I'll let you decide whether, you know, you like that or not. But you know, here at Killen, they basically say if you're the last one that had it and it's so low that it needs to be filled up, go fill it up. And
right.
So my rule of thumb is generally if it's around a quarter of a tank, I'll try to go fill it up. And then, you know, sometimes I'll get in and, you know, it won't be, you know, it'll be lower than that and I need to go fill it up. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, you definitely are at the gas pump a lot.
Yeah.
And, so it's not what you know, you don't expect to get in and be all the time, you know, every time you go somewhere, you got to go fill the bus up.
Yep.
You know, it's a demanding position, you know, any type of ministry position is demanding, whether you're the preacher or the youth minister or missionary. There is a pretty high demand on your time as a youth minister. There are activities, you know, that almost go on every single night that you could go to and be a part of, not just with the teenagers, you know, but that's a lot of it. A lot of it is being at the ball field, being at the volleyball court, the basketball court. But then, you know, you throw in your regular church activities as well, and there's an expectation that you know, need to be there all the time. And again, this is not a complaint session. It's just a reality of something that you might not expect when you get into youth ministry, that you will be tied up either at an event almost every night, or that you could be almost every night at an event, but also, you know, those times when the phone lights up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you've got a teenager that is demanding your time because they're going through something or they need you. And so you need to get up and, you know, be willing to spend some of your time, maybe in the middle of the night, talking to them and ministering to them. And so It's demanding. Sure. And I don't know, I don't know who gets into, ministry thinking, this is going to be easy, that it's not going to be so demanding. I'll be able to live my life and do, all the things that I've always done before. It's just not probably going to happen. It's a sacrificial position too. Yeah. So, and then it changes too when you get older, mm-hmm. and you have a wife and a family, yeah. have kids, that demand is still there.
For sure.
So that's something to think about, really.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about youth ministry, if this course, this Youth Ministry 101 course is for you, if you've been listening and you're a single guy and you're thinking, I was really thinking about, I'm not discouraging away from it. It's just right. one of those things maybe you hadn't thought about.
Yeah. You got to understand that, we're in a servant position.
Yeah.
And when a servant is called upon to help, you do it. You just go do it. And that's one of the greatest things. Chapel has many, many, many great assets, but that's one of the greatest things is she says, go. Mm-hmm. If it's a huge deal, go. If it's a minor deal, go.
Yeah.
And she's very supportive in that. And the great thing about what we get to do too, though, is when we are spending time at a ball field or a basketball court or something like that, is being able to take our kids with us mm-hmm. and watch them grow and right. watch them develop that relationship, because your kids want to be a part of this too. They want to build yep. those relationships with the teenagers, and they want to feel comfortable with them. I can't imagine Pearson climbing up on the bus and just being like, I don't know any of these people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here. Or Chapman, who is two and can just about say everybody's name if you tell him what it is and he can repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
To me that's a lot of fun too. So, I strongly encourage you, if you have children, put them in that environment. Let them see that. Let them grow those relationships. And as a parent, you're getting to spend time with not only your youth ministry family, but with your family as well.
Exactly. And that,
to me, is one of the most important things. Just being able to spend that time right. with your family as well as with mm-hmm. your ministry that you're working with.
Well, and we talked about that in an episode. Sure. We talked about yeah. that balance, and yeah. that's one way, that to me, that's the way it should be done, is that your family gets involved too.
Yeah.
Those teenagers, you talk about your kids wanting to be around it. They want to be around your kids too.
Yeah.
They enjoy that too. Yeah. Now, there are times, depending on what age, right now Brennan's in that age where he wants everybody's attention. They're not always so willing to give it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they don't love him. They like him being around. Sometimes they want to say, go go over there for
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah.
But it is demanding. It's sure. demanding on the time, and you need to put the time in. Just understand that there might be a week where you're not at home any that
Very
week.
Very much, yeah.
Try to find some balance somewhere, but there may be some pressing things you need to be there for yeah. those kids. And that's just one of the things, that maybe everybody doesn't think about.
Yeah, certainly a demand on your time.
Mm-hmm. What else?
One thing that I did not expect was that change, how hard change would be. My first youth ministry work was with Shiloh, and then we left and went to the Jackson Heights congregation and worked for a while. And I never imagined that change would be so hard. You think you can start a work and then just leave it and not have any heartache or any tie to mm-hmm. that. And then when we left Jackson Heights to come back to Shiloh, that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
That was not an easy decision to make by any means. We got the opportunity to come back home, and that's super special to us. But
right.
It can just be hard to make that change. It can be hard on you. It can be hard on your wife, because your wife's got friends there. She's created relationships there with other people. You've obviously created a relationship with your teenagers. It's just super hard. So, you'll have the opportunity to do other things and to be a part of other things and involved with other congregations or maybe a different work altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that when you make that decision, it will be difficult.
Right. It is. It's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
We've been through those changes, and yeah. It's the transitions are not always easy.
Yeah.
Getting depending on what kind of situation you come into and you work, getting the support and the respect, I guess you could call it, can be tough.
For sure.
Especially, you know, if the guy before you, the family before you, whatever the case may be, if they're beloved and they left on their own and there was no issues when they left, it can be really hard because those kids are still attached to them. Now, you know, if they hadn't had a youth minister for a long time and they'd been really wanting one and you come in and, you know, it can be different. But either way, the change is hard either way.
Change is for sure hard. Yep. All right, Jess, you've got the last one, and this one is this one's huge.
A little more serious in nature. It's something I've been through a couple of times in the past years, and something you don't really expect is when tragedy hits. And there's no real way to plan for that.
Yeah.
We've lost two teenagers through the years. One was early on in my ministry, and I did not know how to react. I was still, a lot of people would consider, a new Christian.
Yeah.
You know, when I got into my first, when I was talking about that congregation that I worked with and while I was in school, I was only a Christian 2 years.
Yeah.
When I started there, I became a Christian my junior year of high school. And then when I graduated, I spent a year at a community college. Then I went to Heritage Christian. So I was not a very, experienced youth minister by any means.
Yeah.
And I was pretty mature, not, you know, goofy immature, just as far as how to handle those things. I didn't know how to handle it. Right. But one of our students was, you know, diving off of a bridge that a lot of people did, and he drowned, and it was tragic. We had, at Atlas, Tyler Wilsdorf was in the youth group, very active, went on into the military, and after he had gotten back, he was discharged from the military and everything. So he was a little bit older, but two of his siblings were in the youth group here at Killen, and he died. He got hit by a car and died, and it was obviously very tragic for my family.
Yeah,
having known Tyler since he was, you know, in sixth grade, mm-hmm. But for that family going through. And so, you know, I don't know if any of you guys listening have ever been through that, but you probably didn't expect it.
Right.
Probably something you that's the last thing you think, you know, is ever going to happen, is that you're going to lose somebody in your youth group while they're in your youth group, or even, you know, any time, you know, recent after, after they graduate. And so it kind of rocks you, you know, a little bit. I wouldn't go so far as to say you need to expect that. I mean, I don't think that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's one of those things that, you know, be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And it could happen on your watch.
Yeah.
Because you can't watch 100% of the kids 100% of the time. And you can't control some things. And so anyway, it's just one of those things I felt like needed to be brought up, because it's not something we talk about. It's not something that we prepare for.
Yeah.
But it might be something that we need to at least be prepared, you know, keep some thoughts in mind, you know, how would I ever handle this if this ever happened? Mm-hmm. It's tough.
It's hard to deal with on many different levels, but when you start thinking about young people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you think about teenagers and you think about, you know, they're just full of life, they're full of energy, and they've got so much ahead of them, you know, sometimes that just doesn't work. Sometimes that's just not the plan, and we got to be ready for that. I have never had that experience in mm-hmm. my years with youth ministry. We've never had that to happen. We've had some kids, you know, that get sick or get hurt very seriously, right. but nothing to that degree. But so I can't really speak to that. I've never had to experience that, and I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
On the same token, you know, you reach out to people who have experienced that, and you see how they handled it, how they dealt with it, how they interact with the families going forward, and you just kind of get some words of wisdom from those people. So hopefully that doesn't happen to you. Hopefully that doesn't happen to those families in your congregation. But if it does, it does you some good to be strong and to be ready and to have prepared for that kind of thing.
Yep.
So those are just a few things.
Yeah, that, just some thoughts.
That we expected and some things that we didn't expect, but those are things that we have dealt with. We know that your list could be different. Your list mm-hmm. could be a little more detailed or not so detailed. You just know that it's happened and you've been a part of it. So if you have those things, you want to share those with us, that'd be great. We'd love to hear from you and let us know some things that you expected that didn't really plan out or some things that you never expected to happen that have happened. So we want to hear those things for sure. Jess, it is final rush time. What do you got going on?
Well, we've got the prayer group in the morning.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And then this weekend should be pretty quiet for the most part. We've got Exalt Sunday night, so in our area, young people get around, go to a park and sing for about an hour.
That's
so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But the big thing that I'm excited about is M2Y is next weekend.
It is next week. That's where we'll be a week
That's
from
That's where
today.
We'll be, and we plan to bring an episode to you from M2Y.
Yep.
And so be listening probably Friday. We haven't really decided yet.
It'll be, I imagine, Friday.
It'll be Thursday or Friday, I would think. And we'll have a special guest with us there in the cabin. We'll be live and we'll be, you know, whenever you want to download the episode and listen to it. But we'll be coming at you from Pigeon Forge.
That's right.
Tennessee.
Very excited about that. This will be our third year together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned that it started in Orlando the first year. The second year, last year it was in Chattanooga, which was a really, really cool venue. And then, of course, this year it's in Pigeon Forge. So very excited about that. Very excited to do the show there. Very excited about having a guest on with us and just being there.
Y'all pray, please pray that the weekend next week will go smoothly and that we'll have good weather. You know, last year it was kind of cold and it was rainy.
Yeah.
And it just made it difficult to get around. And but anyway, we'll be praying for good weather. And you know, we want the weekend to be successful. We want, you know, youth leaders to leave with ideas and with encouragement. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being with you up there, Wes.
Yeah,
I know it's we're going to have fun. We've got a little cabin rented, and one of our buddies is going to be with us. And so we'll introduce him next week
M2Y. It's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to you being with us there. We appreciate you being with us today. Jess, how can they get in touch with us?
Well, as always, you can find us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/ministryzoo. And every episode that we can now, we're going to do Facebook Live. And so look for the update that will let you know when we're going to be going on live. You can find us on Twitter at Ministry Zoo, the iTunes podcast app. You can find us on Google Play. And please, like Wes was saying, we covet your ideas. We covet, you know, any comments you want to make. And the best way to get in touch with us is to email us at ministryzoo@gmail.com. And that brings up our very last item that we need to bring up before we say bye to everybody. We for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a contest, and the winner wins a tripod that holds a smartphone up. It goes up large enough to hold the largest of the sizes. I think the 5.5 inch, I think, is the biggest that it goes.
For sure.
So it can hold your smaller smartphones or your larger ones. And Wes, you want to reveal who the winner is?
I do. First of all, let me suggest that if you have a Samsung Galaxy 7, to get that replaced.
yes.
We are very happy to give our giveaway to Whitney Burgess.
Whitney Burgess.
We are thankful to Whitney, and we're thankful for her putting that in and getting in touch with us. And so, Whitney, we will... we will put that in the mail for you very soon. So thank you very much for being a part of that. And thank you for all those who listened. And we're going to get out of here. I think it's time to go. We got to go eat lunch. We got to get outside.
That's right.
That's what
we're going outside to stand.
We promised the Facebook Live people that we would go outside. So we're going to go outside.
It's been good seeing you.
Good to see you, my friend.
Being with you.
Hey, go Cubs.
We're out.